Let me tell you the story of Big Al. He was my best friend and my lover. Danville was a dot on the map in Colorado in 1948, just the kind of town Al was looking for. A saloon, a few dozen houses, hay fields that he could buy cheap. He said, drinks on the house so many times the saloon dogs elected mayor. That was all it took before Al had his hand into everything and in everyone's pocket. The new city hall, roads, schools, and when the developers came, he had a piece of every stick and brick that went up in that town. Then he met beautiful Ruth, who modeled silky things in a downtown lingerie fashion show. He went nuts. He took her to the best places, draped her in jewelry and furs till her shoulders sagged. She was smart, though. She was married 4 times. She said, marriage or you're sleeping alone. So in six months, she was Mrs. Al and spent his money as fast as he could steal it. Well, 5 years passed, and Al drank more, and Ruth sagged more, and the girls in the topless bars downtown were beginning to look pretty good. She was doing her thing, a Cadillac convertible, a winter house in Miami Beach, a steady supply of good-looking Cuban houseboys to help her over the rough spots when her lovers dropped her. About that time, my husband was having an affair with a blonde dancer in one of those all-nude bars in town. Well, when Big Al wanted to prove how big he really was, I got even. Turned out, to our surprise, we fell in love with each other, I think. When my husband found out, he divorced me. Not because I was cheating, because I had poor taste. And about that time, Al turned 50, things began to fall apart. Ruth was blackmailing him for divorce while living in Mexico with a mariachi player she was supporting. Then the IRS began to wonder how Al managed to live the way he did on $20,000 a year. The new state's attorney also was wondering when he discovered Al was an officer in every company in this town. Not enough. The doctors found a spot on Big Al's lungs and said, chemo or the cemetery, which he also happened to own. So Al said, don't bluff with a pair of deuces, there's no future in it. Throw it in and go home. Just before the IRS sealed Al's money and property, he did one last good thing. He gave me a nice hunk of cash and said, bury it and leave the country. He then made a will leaving everything to the Catholic Church, knowing no one, including IRS, would take them on. It was a freezing night. Al heard from his lawyer, two friends he knew he could depend on, Mr. Johnny Walker and Colonel Sam Colt. They walked downtown where he sat on a bench in the park that bore his name.